And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kara Pace.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
Well, I'm sure it's the Hat Man, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. Old school Damien playing our old theme music there. And welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely, if rainy, Saturday morning. And we do hope you can spare us an hour of your time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. So we hope you will give us a call. We have a couple of numbers available for that. They are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We look forward to hearing from you, and we encourage you to call as early in the show as possible so we can get you on. We don't want you to wait to the end of the show and then miss part of your question or call. So again, 415-841-4134. Or area code 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you of our email address, because you can email us. We prefer you call because we like to talk to you, but you can email us during the show. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream on kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time today. And that will be at, again, KALW in San Francisco, kalw.org, and many, many other places. It'll pop up all over the place. Let's see now. All right, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. So bear with us for a minute. And here's the first. Kara Pace looks forward to finally visiting North Dakota, a trip she has tentatively slated for August 2044. Uh-oh. Does that mean there's another eclipse?
That is the next eclipse. And then I'll hit state number 49, or maybe by then it'll be state 50. I don't know.
That's just the next eclipse in the United States, right?
Yes.
Spain.
This is true. Yeah. The next eclipse that comes across the continental United States, 2044, and then again in 2045. So be prepared.
Make your reservations now.
That's right. Yeah. Watching the eclipse in Fredonia, New York, Lori Fisher confronted the three body problem and decided his one body problem was plenty.
It is. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is back from London and happy to see no damaged retinas on our panel. He was worried about doing the show with two little Orphan Annie lookalikes.
Yes. That's an old cultural reference. Yes. What's that?
Is the reason that you don't see any damaged retinas because you've damaged your own retinas?
No. Nope.
Okay.
His retinas look great.
Although the BBC covered the eclipse in plenty of ways. So, yes. You can see all the Americans staring up into the sky. That's fine. I was in London having a nice time. So, all right. All that being said, we will start the questioning with Kara Pace.
All right. I am going to give you a list of state tourism slogans, past and present. For each, you tell me the state. So get ready to write. I've got some slogans. I'm going to start with my absolute favorite one, which is this. It's just the word fun-sized.
Fun-sized.
Yes. FUN-SIZED. Fun-sized.
Wow.
So these are both past and present. So when you say past, I mean like old past or fairly recent past?
Fairly recent. Let's say, I don't think any of these. Yeah. These are fairly recent. Probably maybe dating back as far as the 1990s. So
that's recent.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah.
First statehood, fairly recent. So the first one is fun sized. Number two is Great Lakes, Great Times. Again, that is Great Lakes, Great Times. Number three, the rules are different here.
Ooh.
The rules are different here. Number four, beyond your dreams, within your reach. Again, beyond your dreams, within your reach. Number five is still revolutionary.
Ooh.
Still revolutionary. Number six is mile after magnificent mile. Number seven is it's like a whole other country. It's like a whole other country. And we'll do number eight, the sky's the limit. So reading over them one more time. Fun-sized, Great Lakes, Great Times. The rules are different here. Beyond your dreams, within your reach. Still revolutionary. Mile after magnificent mile. It's like a whole other country. And the sky's the limit. So eight states, eight slogans.
Well, I'll take a, I know none for sure, but I'll take a guess or two. How about like a whole other country? That seems like something Alaska would say.
It does. That is incorrect, though.
Oh, all right. Go ahead, Dana.
Well, the Alaska one I know. That's beyond your dreams, within your reach. Yeah. That's Alaska.
That is Alaska. And that is a past. That's a past Alaska.
Is that past
slogan?
Now?
It is. It's now. It's find your Alaska.
Well, that's not hard to find. And still revolutionary is Connecticut. I know that.
That is true. That was their slogan. Now it's make it here, which I don't know what that means. Still revolutionary. It seems.
Is the sky's the limit Montana? Because I think that's big sky country.
Good call. Right. That is Montana. That is their current slogan too.
All right.
And if I can, I think I can do one more, but it's up to you.
Sure. Do one more.
I think fun sized is Rhode Island.
Fun sized is Rhode Island.
Yeah. That's adorable.
I know. That's their current slogan too. That's awesome. That's such a great slogan.
It is fun sized.
So the ones that we have left are Great Lakes, Great Times. The rules are different here. Mile after magnificent mile. And it's like a whole other country. And for the callers, I will also add the greatest snow on earth. So there you go. Now you get five.
Ooh. What was the last one? Greatest snow on earth?
The greatest snow on earth.
Mm. Very nice.
All right. All right. And Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, like many of us, I was very interested in the movings of the sun and the moon and the earth. Read about the three-body problem. And so my question is about these three words, earth, sun, and moon. There are 10 movies nominated or winning Oscars for Best Picture that have the word earth or sun or moon in them, including lengthened versions. So like if Eternal Sunshine of the Whatever Mind, if that was nominated, I would count sunshine. Okay, so it doesn't have to be the exact word. So the word is embedded in the title. I'm looking for the 10 that have either earth, sun, or moon in them to celebrate eclipse.
Can we go ahead and take the greatest show on earth now?
You should, just right after the greatest snow on earth. Yeah, very good. That's one of the earth ones. Give her a bell on that one. I'll let you get that.
All right, let's just go over once more what you're looking for.
So I'm looking for titles of movies nominated or won for Best Picture, Oscar, that have either the word earth or sun or moon in them. And again, if it's an extended version of the word, that would be fine.
So earth, sun, or moon.
Yeah.
So it could be nominated or win.
So yes. Like Moonlight would count.
Moonlight would count, and I believe that's the only one of them that won. So very good. I like that it has light in there too. Mm-hmm. 2016, that was the winner. So we have Greatest Show on Earth and Moonlight, and that's a good example of the word moon is embedded in the title.
I have to think about this.
Can I take a Sun one?
You may take a Sun one.
I think Empire of the Sun was nominated for Best Picture.
It was not.
No?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'll have to check. Okay. It's not on my list. I looked twice.
Kira's giving me a hint, though. Sun. How about A Place in the Sun?
A Place in the Sun, 1951. Yeah.
There you go.
Very good. All right. So that's three. Maybe give you guys one more if you can get it. So now we have an Earth, Greatest Show on Earth. We have a Sun, Place in the Sun. Then we have a Moon, Moonlight. There's at least one more in each category. Total of 10.
Paper Moon?
No. Paper Moon was not known. I thought it was. Yeah.
Well, I have to think about that.
Okay. We'll just leave it out there. So I'm looking for movie titles, movies that were nominated for Best Picture. One of them won. That was Moonlight. That have either the word Earth, Moon, or Sun in them, including extended versions of the word, like Moonlight. That would count.
All right.
Good.
And if you want to give us a call, we would love to talk to you. That's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Or you can email us at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. So I have a couple of questions. The first one about cities. So this city from the past was called the city, the mind of Western civilization. What city is it? The mind of Western. Say it again.
How about Cairo?
No. Cairo was not.
No,
it does not exist.
Alexandria.
Yes. Yes. Most of our literature, science, and everything really started there. How many books do you think that Library of Alexandria had before it got burned?
In millions.
Millions? Really?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they knew everything. They even had really what seemed to be a car, aeroplanes. It's not far-fetched. It is true. They had a lot of science. And all of us remember Archimedes and the ships and all that. Okay, I would say as many as 2 million. Okay. Good as that, 220 BC, which is how many years that? It's quite many years ago. A scientist, Alexandria, measured the circumference of Earth within 50 miles. Do you know his name?
It wasn't Ptolemy, was it?
No. Ptolemy did play some role in science. So we'll leave that to the audience. We'll tease them with that. All right, so 1600, this European scientist was burned at stake for saying the Earth is not flat. He actually was burned. He was executed, as many others, hundreds in Europe, that challenged the church idea that theirs was flat. Yeah. So I'll give you the name of it. His name is Giordano Bruno. It really was. And among others, even Galileo was forced to eat his own book. Second question about religion. All right, so the word Semitic, does it refer to group of language, race, ethnic group, or religion? What does it refer to? Semitic.
This has come up before.
It did.
Yeah, it came up before. With all of the headache we have today, I'd like to remind people. I will give you the answer because the time is short. All right. There's a group of language. It includes Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic, even Amharic, which is spoken by Ethiopian people, black people. All right. So it really is a thing. And the fact is, also, it refers to a region west of Egypt. It's called Sham. And it goes all the way to Noah's time, Sham and Ham, all this, biblical thing that so it really is, unfortunately, a lot of this language, uneducated people get fault to it. So the word anti-Semitic does not at all in any way mean anti-Jewish. And both the Jewish people and Arab people, which can be Jews as well, Christian and Muslims, are Semitic. If you want to refer to that effect. You always have a good show, and I want everybody today, if you can, please, play the great John Lennon song, Imagine. Imagine no country and no religion too. How peaceful this world would be. I just remind everybody with the Crusaders, remind everybody with so many religion wars that killed millions and millions, and we're seeing one through our eyes right now. both Arabs and Jews are cousins, and they are the same, pretty much the same race, whether they come from Europe or they come from the Middle East. Thank you, Osgar Cho. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank
Have
you.
A good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes. It's turning into the lamp under my feet, I think. All right. Welcome back to Minds Over Matter. And again, give us a call if you'd like to have a question or answer on the show. That's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, before I do my question here, it occurs to me that there's a film called The Good Earth that may be on your list.
It is on my list. 1937, right. Nominated. Very good.
What about Man in the Moon? Did that get a nomination?
That's good. It did not.
Man.
Yeah, another good guess. So we're looking for six more. Very good guesses.
Right. Okay. Let me give a couple. So, all right. As it was mentioned earlier, I was in the UK for actually England for several days, and I came up with a couple of questions while I was there. They have a lot of new currency that's coming out now. They have a new £1 coin in the UK, and it has an animal on it. What is that animal?
Swan? And,
nope.
Is what it is a real animal or a fictional one?
And this is Prince Charles's, I will say Prince Charles's influence is all over some of these things, because it sort of goes into what his interests are in nature and conservation. So
it's a real animal, not a mythical one.
Oh yeah,
right?
No. And there are many species of this animal in the UK. This member of the animal kingdom.
Fox?
Not fox.
Is it a mammal? Are we thinking in the right way?
No, it is not a mammal.
Huh. How about the bee?
That is correct. That is correct.
Nice job.
The bee. Very good. There are 250 species of bee in the UK. Yes, the bee is on the new £1 coin in the UK. Okay.
Cool.
The new £2 coin, they also have a new £2 coin in the UK, has four different flowers on it. So I want to know the four different flowers and what they represent.
Oh, is this going to be like thistle, Scotland, rose, England? Shoot, what are the other two flowers? I'll say thistle, Scotland, and rose, England. How about those?
Well, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Now, what are the other two?
So one's going to be Ireland, right, Kira?
Yeah, Northern Ireland.
And Wales.
Is it shamrock or like a clover or something?
Shamrock.
Okay, for Northern Ireland. So we need Wales, the Welsh flower. I'm terrible. I should know this.
I shouldn't know it, and I don't.
All right. Well, since you killed that, or for the most part, I'll move on here.
Yeah, so I was going to have to call in with that Welsh flower.
Yes, call in with the Welsh flower. Let's see. I'm going to give you three well-known celebrity ambassadors. These are current ambassadors for the United States to other countries. And I want you to tell me the country that they are the ambassador to. Again, these are celebrity ambassadors. In other words, celebrities for being famous for other things. But they are current ambassadors for the United States. Number one, Carolyn Kennedy. Number two, Michelle Kwan, the skater, or the former skater. And number three, Meg Whitman from eBay. Oh. So, again, these are current celebrity ambassadors from the United States. Tell me what country they are ambassadors to representing the United States. Number one, Carolyn Kennedy. Number two, Michelle Kwan. Number three, Meg Whitman. And let's see, since you gave me you answered most of my first two, or I'll give you one more. What was the only Alfred Hitchcock film that was based on a true story?
Oh, was it The Wrong Man?
It was The Wrong Man.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we're still looking for the flower that represents Wales. that is on English, a £2 coin. And what countries are these current celebrity ambassadors to from the United States? Carolyn Kennedy, Michelle Kwan, and Meg Whitman.
I have a question on the ambassadors. Are any of them in countries that are kind of critically politically important, where their presence would matter as opposed to more ceremonial?
I would say a couple of them are,
Okay. Good question.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, that was fast. How about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Man, the Sundance Kid is one of them, 1969. Way to go, Peter. Give him a bell.
All right. Thanks. Okay, let's keep with keeping with the planets now. What astronomical coincidence is associated with Mark Twain?
A comet, Halley's Comet.
Yeah, that's easy. Okay. And okay, now here's one. What about William Herschel?
Herschel was the one who discovered Halley's Comet, I believe, wasn't he?
No.
Or
he discovered the first planet known since the ancient Greeks.
Oh no! It was Neptune not Neptune or Saturn.
Saturn. The Greeks knew about Saturn.
Or then Pluto.
No, don't go. You're skipping over it.
Yeah, Uranus.
That's
Uranus.
Right. Okay, what's the coincidence though between you just said Mark Twain, right? You got his life was the same as Halley's Comet. What about William Herschel?
What about William Herschel?
You mean what coincidence of his birth and
death?
Yes,
a similar coincidence.
Did he die when Pluto was discovered?
No, not Pluto. We're talking about Uranus now, right? He discovered Uranus, and he could have not have known this because it was within his life. When did he die? How old was he when he died? William Herschel died at the age of what?
71.
No. Check this out.
I don't think we're going to be able to guess his exact
date. He died at the age of 82. And
that was close.
One Uranus year is 82 years. So in a way, he died in one orbit of Uranus. Is 82 years, and he lived 82 years. Isn't that a coincidence?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. Just now, getting back to this is a cool one. What's the coincidence between talking about the eclipse, the moon, and the sun? What's a coincidence between the size of the sun relative to the moon and the distance of the sun relative to the moon?
What is the coincidence?
The coincidence. Like looking at the moon and the sun.
During the eclipse, they look like the same size? Is that the coincidence?
No. Well, it is a phenomenon because of this coincidence.
I don't think we know.
One of the coincidences.
No.
Okay, the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, and it's also 400 times farther away from us than the moon.
Hence the eclipse, correct?
Yeah, hence, right. If the moon was like smaller or larger or not as close, we wouldn't have had that nice eclipse. So 400 is the number. The sun being 400 times larger than the moon and 400 times farther away than the moon.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. We would love to hear from you. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I have some emails here. Nancy is wondering if the movie Moonstruck is on your list anywhere.
It is. It was nominated in 1987. Give Nancy a bell. Way to go.
All right. And CMM is wondering about the ambassadors. Kennedy for Ireland? No. Michelle Kwan for Korea? No. Sorry. Not that. And Peter is wondering if the Welsh flower is the leek, which actually is a pretty good guess, but no, it's not the leek. Let's see what else here. Chris is wondering if, is it mile? I'm sorry, Kira, is it mile after magnificent mile? Okay. He was wondering if California was that.
It's not.
Or the greatest snow on earth was Vermont.
Nope.
Okay.
Both good guesses, but.
All right. There we go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, good morning. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany. And turning off the radio.
Yeah.
Well, and welcome back from the Britain. So let's see. I actually happen to know.
Mile After Magnificent Mile.
Is that one of the movies?
No.
Is it Illinois? She says.
It is Illinois. That was their past slogan. Now it's just middle of everything.
Yay!
Middle of everything. Which may or may not be a selling point.
Like nowhere.
Oh my goodness. and how about Raisin in the Sun?
That was not nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, cool.
Otherwise, it would count. Yeah.
Right. Well. Let's go back to the UK. I do believe that the missing flower is a daffodil.
It is a daffodil. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. Should be a leek. Yeah. There's actually plenty of English coins in the last century that had a daffodil had a leek stuck in there somewhere. Let's see here. So that was that. I got a English coin question to go with that. So, what does a sixpence have to do with the saying "going on a bender"?
Going on a bender.
Oh, is it because the metal of the sixpence was malleable?
It is very truly that. It is that. But any idea? Tease that out. I'll give it to you because it's just a great story. So it's in the early 18th century, and the sixpence was very thin, and you could actually bend it because it was almost all silver. And back then, you could drink all day on tuppence. So if you were drinking up an entire sixpence worth of booze in a day, that was called going on a bender.
Oh, yeah, cool.
All right. That's all we got. Have a lovely day. We're enjoying it.
Nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Love to hear from you. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And Kira, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Two skyscrapers, one in Chicago and the other in Boston, were each once the tallest building in their respective cities and used to be known as the John Hancock. It was the John Hancock Tower in Boston and the John Hancock Center in Chicago. What are the current official names of these buildings? They are no longer John Hancock.
Well, gosh, when you mentioned the two skyscrapers, I was hoping you would follow that up with walked into a bar, but I guess...
With sixpence. So this is the current name of those formerly tallest buildings, right?
Yes, that were formerly known as John Hancock X.
The Chicago one is not the Sears Tower, is it?
It's not, no.
Okay, I didn't think so. I remember when it was built, but I don't remember what it's called now.
So how long have they had these names? Do you have any idea?
I think they're both 21st century.
So there's a John Hancock building in Boston and there's one in Chicago.
Yeah, John Hancock Tower is in Boston. John Hancock Center was in Chicago. Now they both have different names.
And you want the one in Boston?
I want both of both. Them.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. What is their name now? So do the two names, as in before, have something in common at all?
Well, they do, actually. Yeah.
And are they both named after corporations?
No.
Oh. Are they sort of like, you know, symbolic, like the Freedom Building or the Independence Building or something like that?
They are not.
They are not, but they're not corporate names either.
They are not.
Ooh. All right. We have a lot of listeners.
Know.
We have listeners in Chicago and Boston.
Yeah.
Chicago listeners call Boston. Yeah. I don't know. That's great.
I don't know. But they have something in common as they did before.
They do.
All right. But not.
But it's more meta now. They have a more meta thing in common.
All right.
They're not named after a person? Or are they named after
they
a person?
No, they are not.
Okay. All right. Why don't you repeat that whole question, if you would?
Sure. Two skyscrapers, one in Chicago, the other in Boston, were each once the tallest building in their respective cities and used to be known as the John Hancock. It was the John Hancock Tower in Boston and the John Hancock Center in Chicago. What are the current official names of these buildings?
I don't know. Somebody will get it.
Okay. All right. Well, while you think about that, I can also just ask, with some degree of specificity, where in the world is the world's largest herd of camels?
And this has nothing to do with the former Hancock.
It does not.
Nope. I didn't think so.
No. Nope. Largest
the
herd
largest
of camels.
Herd of camels.
In the world.
And it's in one place. It's not
it
moving
is.
Around all the time. All right.
Well, I mean, they move around within this place.
Yeah.
So, can I ask, on the John Hancock building, the one in Boston, does the new name have something to do with the location?
Yes.
So does that mean they would, for instance, be on the same street in the same name street? Is that sort of maybe?
No, they're not. They're not on the same name street.
The two buildings.
Yeah,
no.
That is correct.
Okay.
They're not.
Could it be the same address, like the same number?
Nope, not the same number.
All right.
Okay. But could it be like they're in the park by the same name or a river by the same name?
No, it's looser than that. It's
okay.
Because I know where the one in Boston is.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty familiar with it. And
so where's the one in Boston?
The one in Boston's on a street. What's it called? Clarendon, something like that.
Yeah.
Clarendon, I think.
Yes. So the name, I'll just give that one to you. The name of that building is now 200 Clarendon Street. That's its catchy name, 200 Clarendon Street. The Chicago one has an equally catchy name. So that is what they have in common.
All right.
And is it its address? It's 200.
It's just its address, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Cool.
And let's go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hey, Steve. Nice to hear from you.
Laurie, was Sunset Boulevard nominated?
It definitely was in 1950. Way to go.
Oh, good.
Give a bell on that one.
And then for the Kira for Great Lakes, Great Times, is that Wisconsin?
No. Wisconsin wishes it could be the state and even stole its mitten thing, but it's not Wisconsin.
Then it must be Michigan.
It is Michigan.
There we go. I thought that. Good
Which
work.
And it's that's as old. It's old. Now it's just pure Michigan. Pure Michigan.
That's the new slogan?
Yeah. Which is no Great Lakes, Great Times.
Yeah.
Okay. Question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
When and what was the first and last DVDs shipped out by Netflix?
The last DVD was like recent. Was it like last year?
Yes.
Okay, so the first was, is 1999 too early? I'll guess 1999.
You're off by a year. 1998.
That's great.
Yeah.
So 25 year run of DVDs.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
So what was that first DVD and what was the last DVD?
Oh, literally, what was the title of the first DVD?
Yep. Wow.
Were they both Roadhouse?
No.
You have to give us a hint. Now, are these really famous films?
Yes.
Was the first one like Armageddon or something like that?
No, the first one was it's one of the longest gaps between an original movie and its sequel.
Oh.
And the sequel has actually not been released yet.
Oh. There's just one sequel?
It has no sequels right now, but it's going to have a sequel?
That's correct.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, yeah, I'd read something about it.
It's not Top Gun. It's not Blade Runner. It's not Dune.
Not Indiana Jones.
No. Where did I read? I read something about this. What was it?
Is it Happy Gilmore? No, it's not Happy Gilmore.
No sequel.
No, they're talking about a sequel. But no, I've read this. It's a really... Oh, but it's not... The movie's not from 98. The movie is much older. The movie is from, like, the 70s or 80s, right?
80s, yes.
80s, yeah.
Then I read they were going to make a sequel to Beetlejuice. Is it Beetlejuice?
That's correct.
Ooh. All right. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Do you know the name of the sequel, by the way?
No, I do not. Mm-mm.
The sequel is called Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Nice.
That makes sense.
So they have to make a third one called Beetlejuice, 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 of course.
There you go.
They will.
Okay, so what was the last one that was shipped out last year?
Give us a
remake of a classic film.
Sunset Boulevard?
No.
Yeah.
Is it an adventure film? What kind of genre are we talking about?
Western.
Oh, Western. True Grit?
Yep.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Good work.
September last year.
Very nice.
Good work. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Fun.
Okay. Bye.
And let's see. Oh, we're past halfway. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are going to repeat any questions that have not been answered. So, Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. I've given you a list of state tourist slogans, and I just want you to tell me the state. The ones we have left are, the rules are different here. It's like a whole other country, and the greatest snow on earth. Also, I want the new name of what was formerly the John Hancock Center in Chicago. And finally, with some degree of specificity, where in the world is the largest herd of camels?
Greatest snow on earth. How about the obvious of Colorado?
No.
Then my second choice is Utah.
Yeah. I didn't know why you didn't go with Utah first, because you always go with Utah.
I do.
First.
I do.
Yeah, it's Utah. It's their current.
We've been off for a week. I'm way off. Yeah, I'll get back to it.
I'm feeding you.
Yeah.
Things to answer, and then like the first time you don't go with Utah.
I know. All right, I'm off my game. Mm-hmm. I am on my three body problem. I'm looking for titles of movies nominated for Best Picture. These three did not win. I have either the word moon or sun or earth in them. We have seven, and I'm looking for three more, and that's all I have right now.
All right. And let's see. I think all I have left are celebrity ambassadors. These are current American ambassadors from the United States to various countries. Tell me the country they are the ambassador to. Number one, Carolyn Kennedy. Number two, Michelle Kwan, the former figure skater. And number three, Meg Whitman. Of eBay, I believe.
Pillars of the Flower Moon.
Excellent. That was the most recent, having been in 2023. Very good. Just two more to go.
And was Michelle Kwan, and this is driving me crazy because I've actually heard this and I'm very angry at myself for not remembering. Is Michelle Kwan, so like, is her country somewhere in the Caribbean?
In a very rough sense, yeah. It's related to the Caribbean. Yeah.
Related to the Caribbean.
And just a note, she is.
Is it like Mexico then?
No, not
or
Mexico.
Belize.
Belize. That's okay. It.
Really? Yeah. That's nice. And she's from Fremont. She's a local. Went to high school there.
Nice.
So Belize. It was a natural progression.
Yes. From Fremont to Belize.
Yeah.
Always. Okay.
And yes, Michelle Kwan is the current American ambassador to Belize. And so we're still looking for Carolyn Kennedy and Meg Whitman. Lori, if you have a quick question, go ahead.
I do. It's a quick question, and I think you're going to get it pretty quickly. I had reason to think about Stephen King this week, and I looked up his 10 most best-selling novels. None of them have more than two words in them, surprisingly. Four of them have just one word, and one of them is just a number. So what I want you guys to get is in the top best-selling Stephen King novels, name the four that just have a single word and the one that just has a number in it.
Well, Carrie, of course.
That was that's the 50th anniversary of Carrie. So give me a bell on that one.
It?
Yep. Fourth bestseller. Very good.
What about Christine?
Christine's not in the top 10.
And then Cujo?
Cujo's number 8. Very good.
How about Firestarter?
Firestarter is, I don't know if it's one word or two, but it's not in the top 10.
Okay.
And I can't remember the year. Is it like 20? It's not 2012. That was the movie. I'll still guess 2012.
Is what the name of the number?
As the number one.
No, that's not the number.
All right. Just give the question once more, if you would.
I'm looking for Stephen King's top best-selling novels. All of them have two words or fewer. We're looking for the ones that just have a single word, Carrie, It, and Cujo, we got. And one of them is just, I'm looking for one word that has a single word and one that is just a number.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's KDF calling from Allendale Park in Oakland. So far as the celebrity ambassadors, Caroline Kennedy, is that Japan?
She was ambassador to Japan previously, but she's now ambassador to another country. But she was.
Oh.
Yes. I'm sorry?
Okay. I have a topic. What is the name of the female astronomer who more than 1,000 years before Kepler theorized that Earth had a ecliptical rather than a circular orbit around the sun, and who murdered her in her classroom, and in what city did this occur?
Is this Egypt, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
So the city would either be Cairo or Alexandria?
The city is Alexandria.
All right. Is this Hatshepsut?
No, she
no,
was
earlier.
She was the singular female pharaoh.
Right. Sorry, this comes out. Like, Eve's brought her name up.
No,
I don't
but
remember.
That you're close. And the astronomer's name with an H.
This has been mentioned so many times, I'm a dimwit or never remembering. It's Hypatia.
Yeah.
Yes. And so who murdered her in her classroom?
Ooh. It was the Christians, I believe.
The cops.
The cops, yes.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
Those darn Christians.
Yeah.
Well, happy Easter to us. Oh, and about Moonstruck, I just have to say, God bless Norman Jewison. I mean, Moonstruck and In the Heat of the Night, you know, all of us should be so broad in our ability to create.
Mm. Nice statement.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. A couple of emails here. Let's see. Peter. So what are the alphabetical streets in Boston's Back Bay of which Clarendon represents the letter C? That's true. There are a series of alphabetical streets in order. And one of them is Berkeley, I know, but he has the other ones here. Does anybody know?
So say it again, they're alphabetical?
So there's a series of alphabetical streets in Boston's Back Bay. Clarendon is there, and the building that Kira talked about is there. So they are in correct alphabetical order. So there's A, B, C, D, E, F.
And Sunset here. Okay. So what are we trying to get, all 26 of them?
Yeah, and most of them are named after English places in England, actually. So. But anyway, all right, I'll leave that out for people. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad that you played the original song theme. It's been so long since I've heard it. So thank you for playing the original theme song. That's why I'm calling.
You and me both, Fran.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Let's go back to it. Okay. I have a question. I hope I'm correct on this. What was Liberace's full name, his first name?
He's Polish. Tadeusz something, but yeah, it's a Polish name.
Is it like a Vladimir type name?
Well, I want the American version because I heard it in something advertised called Soundies, which was, he did original things called Soundies, and they, which I'm not going to go into, but they mentioned his first name. It was an American at that point.
Oh.
Anyway, it was Walter. They said Walter Liberace. I heard that.
I think his middle name was Valentino or something like that.
Was it really? Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know that. I don't know. I just heard Walter. I was really surprised. What was the original potato state before the Midwest here? What was our original potato, I can't get the word, you know, harvesting, state?
It was, you're saying it's not Idaho? Before it was Idaho?
Originally, it was not in the Midwest, no.
Well, then it must have been obviously on the East Coast. I know they grew a lot of potatoes in the New England.
Yes.
Because they can grow any kind of soil, basically.
Was it Maine? Maine?
It was a state. Did you say, what did you say?
I said Maine.
Maine, you're correct. It was Maine. For like a whole long time, it's amazing. And then the Midwest took over. My last question is, you all know who Robin Williams is, but who was Robin Williamson? He was with a singing group. He was the lead of a singing group and back in the 60s. Do you know the name of it?
Was it a folk singing group?
Folk rock, sort of. Soft
first
rock.
Thing that came to mind, I don't folk. Think it's right. Was he in the New Christie Minstrels?
No.
Okay.
Robin Williamson. It was a beautiful group. It was actually a European group.
No, don't know.
Okay, the Incredible String Band.
Oh, I remember them.
They were wonderful. He was the lead singer. Well, it's been a while, so hope you're all doing okay, and I wish peace and peace more. Okay.
Thank
bye.
You.
Thank you very much. All right, so some emails here. Michael is wondering if the most camels are in Mongolia.
Nope, not Mongolia.
Not in Mongolia. And Deborah is wondering if The Day the Earth Stood Still was ever nominated for Best Picture.
It was not, unfortunately.
Okay.
Those weren't the days of science fiction-y film getting nominated.
No, but that's as high quality a science fiction film.
It is. It is.
Let's see. Okay. And let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Hey. Let's see. So, Kira, for the tourism slogans, It's like a whole other country. Is that Texas?
It is Texas. Nice job.
Of course.
Yeah. Sort of then and now, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Then the skyscraper in Chicago, since you said it's got an equally buzzy name as the one in Boston, is it on somewhere on like the Miracle Mile?
I believe so.
Okay, you so guys, help me out.
Is it on Michigan Avenue?
It is on Michigan Avenue.
So it's like 200 Michigan Avenue or something, some address?
I will reward this tag team effort with the answer, which is 875 North Michigan Avenue.
Oh, of course.
That is the name of the building, 875 North Michigan Avenue. Couldn't be a catchier name.
Really? Who wouldn't want to go?
Really nice, yeah.
Yeah, good work, caller.
And then the world's largest herd of camels, is it in one of the stands?
No, it's not.
Okay, I'll leave that out there. And Lori, the Stephen King novel with the number, did he write one called 7?
6-7? I don't know if he did, but it's not in the top 10 of his bestsellers.
Okay. All right. Quick question related to a previous question from another caller who was talking about why the full solar eclipse was possible because of the distances of the sun and the moon. How much closer or farther would the sun have to be or the moon have to be by percentage to make that full solar eclipse impossible?
It's a real small number, is that right?
It is a very small number.
I'm going to say like a tenth of 1%. Is it that little?
That's in the ballpark. Yeah. Yeah, less than 1%. Yeah. And then when is, in fact, that finally going to happen where a full solar eclipse is going to be impossible? Now think astronomical numbers. Approximately.
Is this going to be like, I guess I'll start at the beginning. What about like 100,000 years?
Many more times than that.
Okay.
6 million years.
Keep multiplying that number.
Go ahead, Dana.
I will say a billion years.
No, keep multiplying the 6.
Okay, so 6 billion.
You're going the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
6 years?
No.
600 million years.
We're just flailing here.
That is exactly the number. I mean, when I say exactly, I mean that's the exact approximate number. In another 600 million years, there will be no more full eclipse possible.
Ooh, I'll check my calendar.
Because of the perturbations of the solar system, yada, 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 you know. Yeah. Well, thank you, and congratulations to those of you who got to chase the eclipse. You, I'm jealous.
2044?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Not likely.
Still time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And so Danny is wondering, this is a very logical, sort of a logical answer because I have read something about this. Danny is wondering if the largest camel herd is in Australia.
Ooh. Yes, I do want a little more specificity than that, but Danny is correct that it is somewhere in
more
Australia.
You mean in what Australian state? Is that
not quite.
More specificity.
What do you want? A province?
I know they were imported to Australia for one reason or another. I believe for use in the outback. And then
the outback is the answer I was looking for. So the Australian outback has 750,000 camels right now, roughly. Largest herd on earth.
A lot of camel activity.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so
nice job, Danny.
All right. Good job. Yes. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I've got some moon and sunshine things.
Great.
Paper Moon.
Paper Moon was not nominated. Tatum O'Neill won an Academy Award for it, but the picture was not nominated for Best Picture.
What about Sunshine Boys?
Also not nominated, but a great guess.
Yeah.
Okay, my last chance. Little Miss Sunshine?
Yes, Little Miss Sunshine 2006.
Good job,
very good. Yeah.
We have got one left. Thanks.
One left from 1960.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Thomas.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, the moon is moving away from us about an inch a year, so in about 500 million years, is going to disappear completely from our Earth. Her Bishop Alexandra, she was born 375 AD. She was killed by a Christian mob 415 AD. And not only she showed that the planets go around the sun in circular in orbits, but also elliptical orbits, which is exactly what Galileo, Copernicus, and Kepler have done. Pretty much they saw her theory and named it for themselves. All those great shows. Thank you. What a beautiful science. Thank you very much. Beautiful science and history. Of course, this is Eid. Thank you again. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was
Eid. Of course, we knew it was you, Eid. You didn't have to identify yourself. Yeah. You're the Howard Cosell of our show. And okay, time to clean up here. Kira, what do we got?
The rules are different here. Perhaps not surprisingly, that is Florida. I have nothing else.
All right. Do we have time to take the one more call? Do you want to take the one more call? All right, we'll take the one. Sorry, Lori. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Antonio from San Francisco.
Hi.
And I want to answer the Stephen King questions.
Okay, go ahead.
The two missing pieces is Misery.
Misery.
For the one name title.
That is correct. Very good.
Great.
The book is 11/22/63, and I highly recommend it to anyone who is a Stephen King fan and a history buff.
I'm with you. 11/22/63 is a fantastic book about time travel and the Kennedy assassination. That runs the category, so I didn't have to give that answer. Thank you
very much. Good job.
Okay, man. Have a good day. Bye.
Glad we got him in.
All right. Okay. Lori, what do you got?
Just one more. The only movie we're missing. Dana, do you know 1960? Has Sun in it?
No.
Kira? The Sundowners. That was
all right. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of an obscure movie. And that's it for me, gang.
All right. The celebrity ambassadors, nobody got. Carolyn Kennedy is the current United States ambassador to Australia. Oh. And Meg Whitman is the current United States ambassador to Kenya. So if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Davo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian DeMiner for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our ultimate thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. We thank you very much. And we do hope you will join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.